This is one of these weekends that's a little bit confusing because the bishops chose probably 20, 30 years ago to move the Feast of the Ascension from Thursday, which was exactly 40 days from Easter, to this weekend, to the seventh weekend in Easter. So it caused a little bit of confusion as far as the readings are concerned and everything, but they did it for a good reason, to emphasize the importance of our Lord's ascension into heaven, the importance of this feast, why we celebrate it. Otherwise, it would be a holy day of obligation on Thursday instead of just the normal Saturday night and Sunday masses. It's interesting when we look at the ascension, trying to imagine the reaction of the apostles. Think about it. You're standing there and you're talking to our Lord, and all of a sudden he starts just to float up into heaven, just starts drifting up into heaven as he's talking to them. And you can imagine them looking up, and as they're looking up, their jaws dropping, their mouths are getting wider, and they're just stunned. They're amazed by what has happened. And we know that because the gospel tells us that they were staring into the sky even after he had disappeared. You know, that he was they couldn't even see him anymore, and they were still looking up, trying to figure out what was going on. I don't know if they thought he was going to come back down right away or not, or what they thought was going to happen. Eventually, the angel had to tell him, go, he's gone. He's not coming back for a while. But when our Lord left his apostles, he left them with a promise. He left them with a promise that he will return again. That this Lord who reigns in the kingdom of heaven, who opened the way to heaven for us, will return again to judge whether or not we are worthy to enter into that kingdom that he ascended into. Now realize, at the time that our Lord was doing his ministry, at the time that our Lord was here on earth, the Jewish people were awaiting a Messiah. They were awaiting a Savior. They were waiting for someone who was going to come and save the people of Israel. They thought that this Savior was going to be a great king. This king was going to march into Jerusalem and kick the Romans out and restore all the tribes, and things would be back to what they wanted them to be. Back to the time of King David, where the glory of the kingdom of Israel would shine once again. All the tribes would be reunited. The 12 tribes would be back together. And around this time, there were many who claimed to be Messiah. In fact, we see in the Acts of the Apostles where when some of the apostles of our Lord were brought before the Sanhedrin, the ruling officials of the Jewish people, they actually mentioned some of them, that there were some within about 100 years of our Lord's lifetime that they remembered. And most of these so-called messiahs, they might have even been able to get an army together. They might actually have been able to get followers who are going to come and conquer the Romans. And of course, the Romans just laugh and conquer them and slaughter them. It wasn't the other way around. These were false messiahs. But of course, that wasn't who this Messiah was supposed to be. That wasn't who this Savior was supposed to be. Yes, he was a king, but he was not the military conquering king that was going to kick the Romans out. Instead, it was our Lord. They didn't realize that he was there, that their Messiah, that they were looking for, was there among them. And he wasn't just a merely earthly king, but a divine king who established this divine kingdom for all peoples, not just the people of Israel. He wasn't creating a new heavenly kingdom of Israel. He was creating a kingdom of heaven for all nations, for all peoples, for everyone to share into. Now, it's clear that even the apostles still thought that he was going to be this earthly king, because we look in the gospel today, the Acts of the Apostles, the first reading, and they actually ask, okay, now are you going to establish the kingdom of Israel? Now are you going to kick the Romans out? And he's like, no. You can almost imagine him looking at him like, really? I just rose from the dead, and now I'm going to ascend into heaven, and you still think I'm going to be an earthly king? They were still thinking on that earthly level. Of course, they eventually do figure it out. We see St. Paul in the second reading where he says, God raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavens. They finally figured out that the kingdom that our Lord was talking about, the kingdom that this Messiah was coming to establish, was the kingdom of heaven. It took him a little while, though. I think we all can emphasize with that. I think we all are like that, where sometimes it takes us a little while for it to sink in. Oh, okay, now I understand. Jesus was given the position of authority within that kingdom of heaven. He was placed, again, as the readings say, head over all things to the church, which is his body. So our Lord, by ascending into heaven, established himself as the head over his body, which is the church. He developed that divine institution that exists today, the church. Now, in the catechism, of course, the catechism is a great resource for learning about what the church teaches. But sometimes its language can be a little complicated, shall we say. In the catechism, it describes the ascension as the definitive entrance of Jesus' humanity into God's heavenly domain. What that sentence means, basically, is that Jesus rose body, blood, soul, and divinity into heaven. He entered into heaven and opened the gates of heaven to all humanity. So our Lord Jesus is in heaven, body and soul. Just as the Blessed Mother is. She was assumed into heaven, body and soul, as we will be one day. He leads the way, our Lord leads the way into heaven. Much like if you've ever seen a military parade where the victorious troops march into heaven, or march into the city. March into the city. You know, the troops are victorious, and so there's this ticker tape parade as they march into the city. That's much the same way. Our Lord is leading us into heaven. He is showing us the way to eternal life. He is showing us the way to the kingdom of heaven. But there's more to this promise that our Lord gave the apostles, and we see it here from the angels. They tell the apostles that our Lord will come back, and he will come back the same way. He will return from heaven. He will come back, as we say in the creed, to judge, will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead. Now, as king, our Lord, of course, is the ruler. He's the one in charge. And, of course, in many kingdoms, the king was the final judge in any matter. He's the one that created the laws, and he was the final judge. He was the final authority. When the king said, this is how it's going to be, that's it. Well, it's the same way with the kingdom of heaven. We have a king who sets the rules, who sets the laws, who is the final authority. And we are promised that he will come back to judge us, whether or not we are living up to those rules, to those laws, whether or not we are following him as his disciples. And we don't know when. We don't know when our Lord will return. He never said. He never revealed to us, well, I will be here on this day at this time, and I'm going to show up here first. He didn't say any of that. We don't know when our Lord is going to return. So, of course, we need to be prepared for that final judgment. For that judgment that our Lord has promised us will come. That we will be. It will be revealed whether or not we followed our Lord. Whether or not our lives were lived so that we can enter into the kingdom of heaven. Something we need to be ready for. And we will be judged. Again, as we say in the creed, as we see in the readings, our Lord tells us, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. So there's two parts to this that we need. Merely being baptized isn't enough. There are a lot of people who are baptized who have absolutely no faith life whatsoever. They have absolutely no belief in our Lord whatsoever. They received baptism as an infant. They received baptism at a time when they didn't have the choice in the matter. Baptism is not a guarantee to heaven. But likewise, merely believing in our Lord is not a guarantee to heaven. We also need baptism. And that belief in that baptism then leads us to have that active faith to go out and proclaim the gospel, to reach out to those in need. That is what the faith that we need to have to be saved. And that is what we will be judged on, is whether or not we have that faith to be saved when our Lord does return. He has ascended into heaven and reigns at the right hand of the Father. When our Lord does come again, may he find us worthy and lead us triumphantly into that heavenly kingdom.